Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Welcome back to New Books in Indian Religions, a podcast here on New Books Network. I'm your host, Dr. Raj Balkaran. More importantly, I have two special guests for you today talking about a very important new initiative. Today, we'll be learning about an organization called the Canadian South Asian Studies Association, CSASA. And to educate us on this topic, I have with me today Dr. Julie Vig of York University and Dr. Andrea Pinkney of McGill University. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Hi.
So, Andrea, what is this Canadian South Asian Studies Association? I imagine it's not a misnomer, so we can probably guess what it is, but tell us a bit more about what this is.
Okay, thank you, Raj. So we call it CSASA as a short form, and so it's an association which is affiliated with the Federation for Social Science and Humanities. So it's a registered nonprofit scholarly association, and it represents a Canadian organization which has been talked about for a long time amongst those of us who study South Asia, but work in Canada and have been going for years to American-based conferences. And so basically there was a sense that, you know, going to these American conferences is, of course, you know, kind of, you know, essential scholarly activity, but that attending these doesn't really help us get our Canadian funding networks activated and leverage resources at Canadian universities, as optimally as it could. And so there was this discussion initiated by Professor Anne Murphy of University of British Columbia back in about 2018 to launch an association, I shouldn't be too hasty about that, to have a sort of investigative workshop to see if others wanted to go in an organization. And so that's basically what it is.
So this is a brand new initiative. It seems 3-4 years in the making, auspiciously coming into being this year, sort of during our COVID off-ramp, fingers crossed. What would you say is the primary purpose or mission of the association?
So CSASA is, okay, so the primary purpose really is to provide a national network for those of us working on South Asian studies, sort of globally conceived. And so, of course, our focus is on, you know, being and working in Canada, studying the South Asian diaspora in Canada and globally, and sort of trying to take advantage of both of those subjectivities, I guess. And so the purpose really is to, you know, for the first time, provide a platform for us to come together annually. And so in that way, you know, the virtual meeting at Congress this year will be, I love the way you call it a COVID off-ramp. Let's hope so. the COVID circumstances of this year's meeting, I think, will be really actually quite beneficial in allowing many scholars who might not normally be able to travel to the Congress to come together this year. But I mean, we'll talk about the program in more detail coming up. But
we'll talk a little bit more about this meeting. And I've joked, at least to myself, I'm not sure if I said it out loud, that, you know, public education is really important to me between the podcast and continuing studies and all that. But what I say to myself is that really what I mean by that is I'm getting an education in public. I'm learning about many a thing. So listen, is this association geared to those particularly involved in South Asian diaspora? Or is it any sort of South Asian studies?
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess I have also kind of a follow-up thought on the sort of purpose. And so, because we're linked, because we're affiliated as a national scholarly association with the Federation for Social Sciences and Humanities, the primary activity is this meeting of Congress. But this year will be the first actual meeting that we've been able to put together because of the circumstances of COVID. And so we're really looking forward to meeting our members for the first time as an association and figuring out what purpose will suit everyone and what kinds of activities we can develop that will be beneficial to our membership. So I guess, you know, our main purpose, of course, is to meet, you know, to have an annual meeting, to run a business meeting, to be able to present a scholarly program, you know, based on peer-reviewed submissions from everybody. But at the same time, we have all kinds of ideas about, you know, creating a fund to be able to help colleagues attend Congress, you know, on a need-based application process, you know, maybe to have some kind of an accelerator for junior colleagues, you know, who are interested in presenting their work on a national platform and, you know, sort of pairing them with mentors. And we're also really interested in taking suggestions, of course, from our membership to see what kind of things would help people. How can we leverage our resources studying South Asia, broadly conceived, from a Canadian perspective?
And those members, would they be scholars of South Asia who are living and working in Canada, who have Canadian citizenship, or how would that be defined?
Yes. For at the moment, so this year, the association is open to Canadian scholars working on any aspect of South Asia, and also to colleagues working on South Asia outside of Canada. But we are hoping to extend the net of our membership to international colleagues next year for perhaps the Congress that will be held at York. And I think we will have this discussion at the business meeting on May 12th. And once we have a chance to talk to the members and so there will be it's an ongoing conversation at the moment.
So, Julie, what's your role currently?
Oh, so I Andrea invited me to join last year. I think it was in January or February 2021 to act as a acting chair for the first Congress that didn't take place in 2021. So we've been discussing since then. I have an official role of president this year since January 2022. And so I'm working very closely with Andrea. We're in organizing this year conference, but now we are really deep into the organization work. And after May 12th, we will work on other events. Andrea mentioned the accelerator for junior scholars and graduate students. So one thing we hope to be for junior scholars in the coming years is a place to network, an accessible place to network for junior scholars and PhD students and graduate students.
You know, in my podcasting role, I reach out to authors about their books, or things come on my radar that seem to be a good fit to publicize initiatives, developments such as this. So I was you know, this conversation was tagged in my brain as I'm hosting a podcast. But the more I hear you speak, and it may be ridiculous that I'm only coming to this conclusion now, I'm like, this very much affects me personally, being a scholar of South Asia, living and working in Canada. And so maybe we should speak at some point, because rumor has it that coordination and administration is something that I may enjoy. So we'll see if you need further assistance.
Oh, wow. Okay, that would be incredible. Well, so yeah, basically we had an interim steering committee for the first year or so. And so that was myself, Anne Murphy from UBC, Ajay Rao from University of Toronto, Sandeep Saha from Athabasca University, and Karen Ruffle from U of T. And so, you know, we were just trying to kind of, you know, keep the momentum alive from this amazing connection grant funded activity that Anne had put together in 2019. So that was in June 2019. And then, literally, I went to the Bank of Montreal here in Montreal to open a community bank account to, you know, for our nonprofit. It was one of the first things where I had to go in with a mask on, you know, like in March 2020. And so I opened the bank account, and then everything, as you all know, sort of the house of cards collapsed. And so since then, the five of us have been on this interim steering committee, you know, trying to, you know, we have a listserv for CSAS, and maybe I can mention that in a few minutes. And then we were seeking, you know, people who would be interested in taking on a proper leadership role. And so Julie, we're so grateful, responded to this call, and we're so happy that she is our inaugural president.
Congratulations.
Yes.
And Julie just shared with us her role with the organization. And Andrea, what do you do primarily?
Well, officially, I guess I'm the vice president and a treasurer. Many hats. And then also, Julie and I have been working with Sloan Geddes and Tim Lorndale. So the four of us this year have been on the Congress Organizing Committee. So I guess those are the three things. And so as vice president, you know, I want to support Julie in her initiatives and, you know, be a sounding board to whatever we, you know, can dream up for, proposing to members, communicating with members. As treasurer, I guess I'm trying to manage the community bank account and, you know, deal with payments. Not my strong suit, but, you know, always a learning curve. And then in the last 4 or 5 months, I guess the Congress meeting has a really long arc of development, shall we say. And so there's a long planning cycle. So we have been fielding many emails from many Congress organizers for months. So in the current year, the last 3 or 4 months has been really taken up with, you know, trying to put together the Congress meeting for the first time and liaising with the Federation representatives.
Mm-hmm. So Congress, what is this? Sorry, Julie, please go on.
No. I think in a way this year is at least I can speak for me. It's like training into organizing a conference within the Congress structure, which is there are way more steps than I had imagined. And so it will make it easier. And next year when the Congress is when the conference is in person in Toronto.
Yeah, it's unassuming how much goes in behind the scenes for in any organization and for any event. There's tons that goes in behind the scenes. Congress, what is this Congress of which you speak?
Do you want to?
Sure. Okay. So to be very honest, so I moved to Canada in 2013 and had been, you know, sort of, I was based in Singapore. I was based in the United States before that. And so I was very much hooked into the, you know, either, I don't know, how should I say, like international or, you know, American dominated conference circuit. And so moving to Canada, one of the first things I had to learn about was the Congress. And so the Congress is an annual meeting. It bills itself as the largest gathering of academics in Canada. And it is put on yearly by the Federation for Social Sciences and Humanities. And so this was, you know, sort of all new to me. Now that I've been in Canada for, 9 years, working at McGill, it's clear that, indeed Congress is the biggest sort of, thing happening academically and intellectually from a Canadian scholarly perspective. And so, having some kind of a South Asia studies presence there seemed that, it would be desirable to have a formal platform, a way for us to connect. There's as Julie has very diplomatically put it, there are more steps than are even imaginable in, liaising with Federation to get this thing going. But that's the sort of, the legwork that's necessary for this. But the, of course, real positive side of it is that we do have, a seat at that very, sort of high level national table where we can, be part of this, long running organization. There are some, 300 scholarly associations, and now, we are there alongside them as the Canadian South Asian Studies Association. And so our one-day program this year will be on May 12th, and we'll have a pretty full program with and of course this year it's run on Zoom, so there will be two simultaneous Zoom rooms going all day, along with a third Zoom room that will be available for colleagues to drop in and network in. We can talk about the details of the draft program so far. Go ahead.
Oh, one more thing I want to add is that the Federation is bilingual, is in French and English, and this is something we're working towards for doing in the future. We want the association to be a place where we create bridges between French and English Canada. So we have in the Université de Montréal and Université du Québec à Montréal, which host many scholars of South Asia. And so we want the association to be a place where we can connect with Francophone colleagues. And so this year, unfortunately, we don't have any papers in French, but this is something we are really working hard to make it happen in the future years.
So for this year, the lineup for the conference has been established. Do you want to say a little bit about the lineup?
Yes, absolutely. So as Andrea mentioned, we'll have two simultaneous Zoom rooms. And so we have our first panel that is dealing with time, past and present. And so we have, I don't know if you, should I mention a few talks and scholars.
Yeah, sure, as you'd like. Yeah. Mention some names if you like, why not?
Yeah. So the day will start at 9:30, and we have Andrea is presenting. I really look forward to hearing this paper on cartography and pilgrimage in the Western Himalayas, and then Anne Murphy from UBC will also present a paper on Baivir Singh, which is a colonial poet from the Punjab. And we have Mukti Patel and Lina Taneja in the first panel who are working on various aspects dealing with time. I don't know, Andrea, do you want to is that too much details or?
No, you're fine. I think
that sounds great. Yeah,
you're fine. There's our audience is very much interested in
wonderful.
Scholarship.
Okay, so in this
and so second, feel free to mention the names and the topics.
Perfect. So we have at the same time at 9:30 in Zoom, in the second Zoom room, we will have four papers. The first one is from Elliot Montpellier, working on Pakistani TV dramas. And then we'll have a paper from Ryan D'Souza from Chatham University, working on, I'm very curious about this paper, presenting a paper at the intersection of quantum physics and Sufism. So it will be interesting. And then on this panel, we have Michel Folk working on memory in colonial narratives on India. And I think it's on Saskatchewan, if I remember the abstract well. And then we have a paper from Sananda Sahu from Western University titled Nonsensical Tweets, Negotiating Agency Through Misnaming. So that's that. These two panels constitute our morning, and then we'll have our business meeting, which will be really great. I look forward to discussing with the interim committee. And in the afternoon, there's only one, is there a second Zoom room? Yes, there will be a two simultaneous session also in the afternoon. The first session will start at 1:30, and it's called Reading Between the Lines in South Asian Literatures, and we have four panels. The first one is from Jesse Pruitt from the University of Toronto, and Jesse will present a paper titled Childhood's Hand and Ramalinga Swamigal Reappraisal of the Devotion of Youth. And then Tim Lorndale will present on a paper on inscriptions I think it's on Canada Sources, if I remember correctly.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, we're so happy to have an epigraphy paper. Yes.
Yes. And then we have a really, I was really excited about this abstract from Gal Gwili from McGill University on Shakuntala in modern China. So this will be really wonderful. And the fourth paper is from Mira Kachru from McGill University, presenting a paper on a mid-century mantra from the Guhananda Mandali. So that's
Sri Vidya, also really looking forward to that one too.
Yes. And then the last paper of the afternoon, the last panel It's the last panel of the second Zoom room. Is composed of Tanya Das Gupta and Sugandha Nagpal, and they will present a paper on titled "The Resilience of Punjabi Migration and Mobility During the Pandemic." And then it will be followed by a paper from Bidushi Sadika from Western University, entitled "Darker Skinned and Unmarriageable: Experiencing and Coping with Shadism among South Asian Women in Canada." And then we will have a paper from Alamgir Hussain on the Eastern Coastal Salt Culture in Bangladesh. This will be very interesting. And the last paper of this panel will be from Aditya Bhattacharji from UPenn. And it's on the Thai diaspora. So the paper, the title is An Elephant Amid Rice Fields, Ganesha's Thai Diaspora. And then we have one more panel at 4 p.m. Of course, everything is on our website.
And just for those of you listening, the link to the descriptions will be in the podcast notes as well. If you prefer to follow along, feel free. But Julia, please continue. For those who are just listening and not reading along, what is the last panel?
Perfect. So we have a last panel entitled Exploring South Asian Food Culture in Canada. The first paper is from Shelley Boyd, and the title is Recipes for Reading Drama, Mixing Genres in a Brimful of Asha. And we have another paper from Asma Sayed and Jacqueline Walker from Kwantlen Polytechnic University called Biryani Poutine and Halal Burgers, The Poetics and Politics of Food in Uzma Jalaluddin's Hana Khan Carries On. And the third paper of this panel is from Samina Siddiqui from UBC, titled Culinary Politics, Farmers, Protest, and Diaspora Art. And then the final paper is on Goan food culture. So it's from Akhil Ihsan, and the full title is I'm Goan Because I Eat Goan Food, A Critical Look at the History of Goan Canadians. And then we will end the day with a roundtable titled The Jigsaw Puzzle of Indudva. And the roundtable is composed of Arshita Yalamarti from York University, Sabika Zaidi, Arpita Bajpal and Yasir Hamid. They're all from York University. And then throughout the day, we will have a networking lounge, which will be another Zoom room where people can just meet and have, I don't know, casual conversations about the conference and other aspects.
So the entire conference is online, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Great. And so can anyone attend?
No, you have to be registered. You need to be registered at Congress, and you also need to have registered to the association's conference. So there are two steps.
Okay, so it's folks who are registered with conference, correct?
Yes, yes.
Excellent. What is your, how do I put this? What is your hope? Like, what is your hope? What do you hope will come out of this initiative?
So many hopes. I guess.
Tell me your hopes and dreams, Andrea.
Yes. it was just, this event that Anne Murphy organized in Vancouver in 2019, it was just such a wonderful experience to meet colleagues working on all different kinds of fields in South Asian studies. And so there were, there's a colleague from UBC who was doing like ethnography in villages in South India, having to do with kind of like social outcomes. Like, it wasn't like an arts-based thing at all, but they were using ethnographic method. And I just found it, I was just so taken by that paper and the way that it was able to apply ethnographic method in a way that, you know, was sort of, you know, strange and familiar at the same time to me. And there was another paper by a colleague working on nuclear power in South Asia and comparing this with, you know, the Canadian nuclear industry. And it was fascinating. I learned so much from that presentation. And so I hope that this association can provide a way for colleagues who are interested in South Asia and Canada to come together in a way that you know has never fully taken off before. I should mention too, there is an older history to this. So I want to say in the 1990s, I believe Mathieu Boisvert from UQAM began a similar kind of association. And so I it had some activities, you know, but this is long before my time. So I don't want to, mischaracterize it. But I do want to give a shout out to this. You know, this is not the first time that we have tried to have some kind of South Asia plus Canada plus association configuration. But hopefully, this time that we are, the downside of being associated with Congress is that, our program, as Julie mentioned, is a kind of conference within a conference. And so it's not open access. You know, we would love for the whole world who's interested to be able to connect with the colleagues who are presenting. And so in that way, you know, we are presenting the scholarly program within the auspices of Congress. And so, you know, my hope though is that, you know, being affiliated with this national organization will give our association and this collective of colleagues a stable platform to, you know, unite our resources, you know, and bring together our ideas in a way that will be mutually beneficial, help to advance the field. And I think also to, train an eye on the real critical need to understand the Canadian South Asian diaspora. So this is such a huge part of Canada's history and sociology and our present. And so the idea that, you know, this, you know, vital part of Canadian society is so underrepresented at this federation table, you know, I really hope that our association can help in a small way, you know, to put that on a stronger footing and in a better direction.
Sounds like noble aims all around. Julia, was there something that you wanted to add?
Yes, I think I want to add that one of my hope is that the association is a space where is an accessible space for perhaps students who don't necessarily have access to the associations in the United States. It's very expensive to travel to Madison, to travel to to
the AAR, wherever that would be.
To be even accepted and to be part of a wider network. So my hope is that the association is accessible, and we're working towards making it accessible to Andrea mentioned that we will work on building a fund for people who are in need, financial need, and then the membership is already free for Black and Indigenous students and scholars. So this is my hope, that accessibility is my hope for the future.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Maybe just to add on to that, so, you know, we have this, you know, mandate to be part of Congress every year, but I hope also that our association will grow beyond Congress, basically, because Congress is kind of, I mean, it's a paywalled thing. It's expensive and it has its own accessibility issues, which I have to say, writing to them, they've been very generous about bending. So, you know, they are really trying to, you know, obviously have an operation that is, you know, financially sustainable, but at the same time, they've been very flexible about being extending inclusivity as much as they can. But yeah, I mean, just running a Congress program is kind of just the beginning, you know, and I hope that our members can help to, and, you know, add ideas and, you know, let us know ways in which the Congress, in which our association can serve the community. And so, you know, the Congress will be a first step in fact finding, information finding, to know from our members, what do you want? What do you need? How can we help? How can this national platform benefit us all? And hopefully then, you know, grow well beyond just this annual meeting, as Julie mentioned.
Well, it's clearly in an embryonic phase, if you will. And so we, as a community of scholars, will co-create it based on leadership, based on needs, based on communications. You know, there are a lot of variables, but I certainly see lots of wonderful ingredients on the counter. And I think with a little bit of elbow grease, it'll be a wonderful meal in time. So for those of you listening, we've been talking about this brand new initiative, the Canadian South Asian Studies Association. There is, for those who are affiliated with Congress, there is a conference fast approaching on in the timeless time of podcast land. It may be in your past or in your future, but it's on May the 12th, 2022. All information will be in the podcast notes. Beyond attendance at the conference, is there any sort of call to action or ways in which people can connect or contribute or support the association?
Perhaps I think the first step would be to join the listserv. And so that's, and to become a member. And so the listserv is really a first step to follow the activities. And then we will publish call for, I don't know, we will organize meetings or we can have conversation on what's next after this year's Congress.
Excellent. Okay. So I'll leave notes in the podcast notes about joining the listserv. That's an excellent call to action. Is there anything else about the association that you wanted to touch on today?
I guess just to be very precise, our logo is CSASA, but we're trying to really expand this to become CSASA Accessa. So it's the Canadian South Asian Studies Association, Association Canadienne d'études sud-asiatiques. I should have asked Julie to pronounce that. So yes, it's CSASA Accessa. Yeah. And so, you know, our nonprofit incorporation, our affiliation with Congress, everything is, you know, put under the terms of CSASA, because when we launched this in 2019, we unfortunately had no bilingual capacity, but with Julie assuming the presidency, now we do. And so we really want to, link in with our Francophone colleagues, both in Quebec and internationally. It would be wonderful.
Great. Well, thank you very much for appearing on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Right. For those listening, you've just learned of a new development in the field of Indian religions. One of many, I imagine. And we look forward to hearing how the association develops in coming years. For sure, we'll have these guests back on the podcast. Until next time, stay safe, stay sane, take care, and keep listening and keep contemplating the importance of such scholarly associations. Take care.